Why me? You don't even know me.
Because what I've seen, I've liked. And I got a good feeling about you.
Having to like cancel things because of like strange bodily problems.
Oh my god, dude. I don't know what it is, but well, like last week or the week before, I woke up and I was so confused. I thought I sweat like all over my pillow, and then I looked and it was all blood. Like just blood all over my face and my pillow. I've always had issues with nosebleeds, but since moving to like a hotter area and now too that every fucking summer is getting hotter, my nosebleeds have been getting worse to the point where now they're not like oxidizing right or oxygenating the blood right, so it'll come out straight up almost purple.
That's ooh,
terrifying. Just terrifying. And if you fall yikes asleep with one of these and your head is tilted back, like I've woken up and been like, oh, why do I feel so gross, and then I'll just throw up straight up blood. It's like a horror film.
Yeah,
that's horrific.
I don't know why this is happening to me. Oh, and the best part too is living in America, you have to pay for health-related items, right? And so I was looking online and I was like, oh, well, how much is it going to cost to fix this? Because all you have to do really is cauterize it. And I have, it's okay health insurance, but my deductible is really high. So I would have to pay, if I went to the emergency room, which I probably should have considering how much blood I lost, like
yikes,
over $1,000. Okay. Just for them to stick like a hot rod up my nose and stop it from bleeding. Or I could try to make an appointment with an ENT and then like wait around a whole bunch and then hope to God that it's like around $300. Both of which are like, come on, I don't want to do that.
Did you say ENT? Like there's some like lady out in like the rural country who will do yes this for you?
What? I have to fly all the way to Louisiana. I need to find a witch doctor and she will just do a spell on my nose.
I mean, all you need is like, you know, like a good rod, a good like metal rod from Home Depot, and then like a blowtorch, and you could probably figure it out. I
think frankly, considering it, or just like being done with the whole thing and jamming up every morning, just jamming up a little piece of tampon and hoping for the best.
It's like your nose is like the boy at the dam, like, or the tampon is like the finger of the boy at the dam, and your nose is the dam. And
he's, oh like, yeah,
plugged to the dam.
And
like you'll
and
die.
I have to pray every day that the boy doesn't get distracted.
Yeah, the tampon doesn't get distracted. Oh, you are the boy. Just oh, okay, I see.
Well, no, I mean the tampon, if it gets distracted, falls out. I don't know. I've only ever put a whole entire tampon in there when I'm feeling lazy. Never just a little piece to go incognito in order to like leave the house.
Yeah. Oh God. What you been up to, Liz? How is becoming a lawyer? How's that going?
It's a struggle. The Constitution is just being trampled on, and it's really hard to study the law while that's happening. Luckily, nothing that's going on now is going to be on the exam, but it's really hard to pretend that I have rights while I'm studying.
Yeah. They're like, okay, all of this that you've learned is going to be like null and void once the totalitarian dictatorship is fully in place, but You need to know it now.
So. Yep, but it's kind of motivation. My professor was even like, you have to pass this time, because if you don't, then you have to learn all this new law and you don't want to do that.
Fuck yes. That. Wow. So like, are you depressed now? Just wait until the new rules come out. You have to memorize them, and then you have to write all about them. Enjoy. Yikes.
That just makes me think about like how learning law back in like the late 1700s was great, because it was just like, you know, it was like, oh, like a small pamphlet's worth of like, oh, you know, you can't like hang out in front of cows on Thursday, like they don't like it.
They used British law back then. I mean, still to this day, sometimes British cases are discussed and cited in Supreme Court decisions. But then, you know, they had like thousands of years of law that they would use from Britain.
Disgusting. Oh, we've had a whole episode about that. That's we don't need to go back into the hate spiral. It's fine. It's fine. lots of rights disappearing and stuff. So it's a good time. It's a good time, I feel like, to talk about everything that's been happening with the Supreme Court. You know, there's like little sections that are bad, but it's like I just feel like I wanted to have somebody slightly smarter than me or much smarter than me come on and tell me about how bad things are going to get, because it seems like things are bad.
Things are bad. This is one of the most active sessions the Supreme Court has had in a really long time. And I mean, it's super active in that they're not upholding stare decisis at all. And stare decisis basically means like what comes before, and you uphold that precedent, but they have no respect for that. And it's really interesting because Justice Thomas is always the one who's pointing out judicial activism and how he doesn't like it. Like he's actually been kind of on the right side when it comes to qualified immunity, saying that, like, you know, we shouldn't be allowing cops to have this qualified immunity because there's nothing in the statute that gives that. But he's just so inconsistent. Like, he doesn't seem to care when it's about things that, you know, he doesn't like abortion.
Nice. Well, that sounds like fun. I'm trying to, so we got to make sure to make it fun. Remember, this is like apocalyptic Zen. So, like, even though our democracy is collapsing, we got to make jokes. So, you know, like, we'll find, I'm sure there's something funny about, like, losing basic rights. But we'll figure that out. We could get into that later. That's, like, you know, no rush. We got plenty of time.
we just have to stick in one good joke. That's all. Yeah. Just one. Then we'll edit around it.
We'll just keep making fun of like Katie's broken nose. Like, just,
oh my god. Dude, imagine if I lived in Texas and I showed up somewhere with like a bloody ass shirt and they're like, oh my god, that woman had a miscarriage. We gotta murder her. We have to murder her immediately. And I'm like, no, I swear to god, it's just my nose. And they're like, that pervert got a pregnant nose? Disgusting. I don't even know what kind of lesbian that is. Killer. Killer at the stake.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. There's the comic relief we need.
Okay, we hit our marks.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. I'll leave the jokes to you.
Yeah, you're here for the sadness and the woe. So thank you for being here for the sadness and the woe. Yeah, so welcome to the show, welcome back. It's been a while, but you know how we do, just vacation mindset the whole time, so it takes like extra months. We're recording on this great, beautiful, this is the, I should know this because it's right around my birthday time, but this is the birthday of the nation, right? July 4th. Is that accurate? I should know this. It's simple, like basic U.S. history, but
it's Independence Day.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I barely passed most of high school, so.
And you've lost like a lot of brain matter out of your nose recently, so.
Yeah. No, I'm losing brain cells actively. So don't count on me for facts, just for laughs.
Yeah, it's the day that it's perfect because we just did the British episode and then now it's the American episode and we get to talk about, and it's happening on America's birthday when like the little pupa like creature that is America like left the womb, the slug womb of the British. So, you know, it's a perfect like metaphorical transition in themes.
Yes, and now it's grown into a full-blown monster.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time. Yeah, it's like we have become like we're basically, I don't know, off the top of my head, like Jabba the Hutt, of a Jabba the Hutt with like a branded McDonald's and ExxonMobil, you know, slug.
That's fair.
Cool. So we're a disgusting brand slut? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
With giant slug-like alien features.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, so welcome back to Apocalyptic Zen. This is Nick. You're hearing Nick. There's Katie, the one who's dying of blood loss. And then first on the show is Liz, who's here to make us sad. Thanks for coming, Liz.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah, we're here.
We needed a slap of realism. Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. She's going to tell us about what's sad, and then me and Katie are going to keep the vibes high. So, you know, mm-hmm. we'll tell you how to be zen when you find out you're not going to have basic human rights soon. So,
yeah, how to scam the system listening. With Nick and Katie.
But yeah, so Liz is in some process of becoming an expert on this little thing called the law. So yeah, she's gonna prescribe the problem and as best she can. I mean, we can talk about it too. We're not complete morons yet, but
I don't know. Speak for yourself, Nicholas. Yeah. But yeah, Liz is the one who takes all of these crazy concepts and boils it down into a way that a dumbass like me can understand and be like, oh yeah, no, at the end of the day, this is good. This is going to help me. Or at the end of the day, this is fucked and my life will get worse.
That is very flattering. I feel like our lives will get worse.
Oh yeah. Yay.
The makeup of the Supreme Court right now is really interesting. You know, we got 9 justices, 6 are conservative. 5 of those 6 were appointed by a president who lost the popular election. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. 2 of those 6 have been credibly accused of, you know, sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. One of those 6 had a seat that was basically stolen from Merrick Garland based on this false fake rule that Congress made up, or the Senate, that he couldn't be appointed during close to a presidential election. That rule was thrown away when they appointed Amy Coney Barrett, because I think that was maybe like a few weeks from the election. So
nice.
The Supreme Court makeup is dark right now.
Do any of them have, you know, like, oh, I don't know, like some kind of demonic force that emanates from them whenever they're like on TV, like a like halo effect? Does that happen as well? Or is that's not like, there's nobody specifically who has that. Is that just like all of them? I don't know.
It's hard to say. They're all really confusing and inconsistent. I think.
We like some of them. Not all of them are bad.
Not all the justices are bad, no. All the conservative justices, I don't really have anything great to say about them.
You know what? I might kick you off for not you know, being respectful to both sides, but I'll let it slide.
This is going to be a short podcast then.
This is a both sides podcast, if it hasn't been really obvious. So, you know, if you're listening, don't worry, we'll pander to whatever your silly view is, and we're not going to say anything that's going to bother you. So so, you know, for the uninitiated, it's hard to know what the average person on my Facebook that listens to this, or the average person I've randomly sent a link on Twitter to has as a general understanding for like US government. But yeah, you know, so the Supreme Court, one of the 3 branches of government, has become much more conservative. It already was pretty conservative. Like most of the country, like beforehand, was already not as conservative as the Supreme Court. But recently, you know, with Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh and is it Gorsuch? That's the other guy, right?
Gorsuch, yeah.
And Gorsuch, right? With those 3, things have gotten a lot worse. Meaning conservative, you can usually just use those words interchangeably. And recently, most famously, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and done a litany of things. Actually, like, I don't know, am I reading it wrong? They've literally, like, since Roe versus Wade, they've like pumped out like multiple decisions, like groundbreaking, rule changing decisions since then. Were these things just like, is it literally just that it's only taken like a month for all this other crap to come out? I don't know how this works.
Yeah, they've been planning on have it all come, most of it come out in June, although they're continuing now with some kind of scary decisions. The other main thing, I mean, well, there are 2 that I think are pretty big. The one being basically the lemon test being thrown out. And the lemon test basically is applied to like certain state laws and other laws that it tries to prevent excessive government entanglement with religion. So basically the Lemon Test asks, is this law a secular purpose? Does it have a secular purpose? Is the intention of the law to advance or inhibit religion? And does this law cause excessive entanglement with religion? And basically that was used to stop, you know, people from doing like public or prayers in public schools or making kids right. pray.
This and is the praying football coach thing that happened, right?
Yes. So now yeah. that's allowed, where you can have at public schools lead prayers. And it's sad because obviously, you know, a kid who's on a like a school team, they're not going to say like, I don't want to do this or express that they don't want to do that. Yeah. So it's kind of, right. you know, forcing them to have to be exposed to that. And I think that that definitely causes excessive entanglement with religion. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that one up first, because there's so many of these like fucked up decisions that have happened. And this one, like in a normal setting, like in a normal, like, you know, the quiet drum of the Biden presidency, this would like really piss me off. Like, this is bad, you know? And I've like looked at the implications, like they could do, it could like really push, you know, some things, like, you know, it was just about this guy like being a fucking asshole and just like praying at the 50 yard line. But it's like, I've read things that it can go much farther, but yeah. I mean, compared to all the other shit, like the climate change stuff that's been going on, obviously Roe v. Wade, the stuff that's going on with like election integrity, like this one, I almost forgot about, like I had to just Google it just now. Cause like, there's so much other crap that's happening at the Supreme Court that they could just like, this one can just like slide through and yeah. it's almost forgettable because like, it's just, we're in such a bad time that this is like, oh, well, that's cute. Like, oh, religion in schools.
I think what connects it is the erosion of the separation between church and state. And that can kind of be seen in Roe v. Wade, because Dobbs v. Jackson, the case overturning Roe v. Wade, because a lot of their arguments are based on, you know, religious analysis of these laws and whether like a fetus is a human, and you know that comes from religion, that's yeah. not a secular idea. So like that just also shows that the Supreme Court is totally okay with eroding the separation of church and state.
Yeah, right. which is honestly a really good, great like backdrop to the you know, the like theocracy that we're gonna end up with. So yeah, it's an important piece. They're like, don't worry, we are also bringing, like, along with all this other shit, we are intentionally bringing Jesus in. So it's like,
yeah, because Jesus is the true quarterback of this team, and he's going to lead us to victory. But Liz, I have a question. I know that you were talking about Stare Decisis earlier. I can't remember if we had recorded that part or not. But as far as kind of setting up in like an insurance policy for themselves on some of these decisions. Now, getting rid of like the Lemon Test, for example, do you think that's a strategic move in order to, you know, prevent anything from interfering with their recent decision on abortion and potentially other decisions that they're going to release that, you know, are going to be primarily filtered through a religious lens? Or is this something that is somewhat separate?
I think it they're connected, like you were kind of alluding to. I do think that the decisions are going to get a little, you know, they have a religious intent. And I think that gets scary because, like Nick was talking about earlier, like all the things that could happen from eroding the Lemon Test, laws can now be used to advance religion or inhibit religion. We can see like in something that the Lemon Test was used to prevent was like in government buildings, you know, you can't just put up the Ten Commandments and then not like, you know, make any mention of other religions or like have other right. secular things there. But now, you know, these government buildings can be filled with that. And that gets scary because, you know, that's obviously, honestly, that kind of thing is the least of our worries. But then you start seeing like promotion of religious schools, more funding to these private religious schools. And some of that's fine. Like it's okay to, if you're funding all the schools in the area, it's okay. Even the private schools, it's okay to give them funding, but some of these religious schools are very discriminatory.
Right. And I feel like it also is just, it's a, you know, it's like a foreboding for what's to come. It's like, well, if this is what we're starting with, it's like, if we're just going to bring in iconography and straight up promote like a religious, you know, like, religious education and crap, it's just like, well, what's to stop, you know, more punitive laws that are based on religion and stuff. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah. That's and it's, it's all based on Christianity too, is the messed up part. They're not trying to help all religions or anything like that, because you know, one of the tenets of, you know, Reform Judaism is like it, part of that law is that if a mother's life is at risk, an abortion is encouraged, basically.
Right.
So like,
yeah, no, I agree, Liz. One of the things that's very interesting too is the Catholic Church, if you're not looking at like Opus Dei or Catholicism or whatever, the Catholic Church itself in recent years has made sort of the same decision where if it's a competition between the life of a fetus and the life of the mother, you're allowed to do, I forget what it's called, but it's some sort of like a religious petition where even though you are undergoing, you know, an abortion or some sort of medical procedure that you do not agree with, you've had like the blessing of your priest or the blessing of, you know, your archdiocese that's allowing you to do this, because it is in, you know, it's supposed to protect your life as the mother. That's like a very strange sort of concept and like step around. Again, Catholics have a lot of step arounds for some of the rules. But
they have them. But the point is they have them. Yeah.
They have them. Yeah. Again, this is Nick and Katie, how to scam the system with yeah. Liz, how to make sure you don't do it illegally. but yeah, like it's interesting because a lot of these religious approaches that have come about in probably the last like 30 years, even from the Catholic Church, like it seems a little bit more progressive than some of the stuff that is being put forth, especially by, you know, the current Supreme Court justices. What, you know, sort of background they have religiously, I have no fucking clue. Because again, I went to Catholic school my whole life. We watched an abortion instead of having sex ed class. Okay. That's how psychotic it was. It was
kind of
yeah. So a lot of us were fucked as soon as we went to college and we were like, what do you, what's, why is there not?
I really hope one kid in that program was like, gosh, like watch that video and was like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to be an abortion doctor.
They make you watch
saving lives.
Yeah, that is wild. I mean, yeah. To be honest, if you made me watch a birth, it would have a similar effect on me. I mean, basically both of them are fine for abstinence education. Like if that's what you're going for, probably both of those are.
What kind of abortion was it?
It was like the vacuuming kind, like the old school. They've had this forever. Like, nice. And then it was funny because I think the year after they like stopped it, someone's parent was like, you can't show this to my kid. And I can't believe that basically from the time the school started, which was in the early 60s, to the point I had to be in that class, like no one said anything. Like no parent was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like everybody was like, well, you know, it's a Catholic school. What you gonna do? We pay so much money. One of the things we got to do. But it's weird because I remember even having like a class that was oriented towards that sort of like sexual education, right? They still went over the difference between scripture and tradition and the stance that the Catholic Church took when it was, you know, a competition of life between the mother and the fetus. They were like, look, we don't want you to get an abortion because you're dumb and you didn't get married first. It wasn't even like you were allowed to use condoms. That was a sin. Masturbating, hilarious. They were like, it's a sin, but it's a minor sin. It's kind of like a misdemeanor versus a felony. Go and you apologize, like God's gonna understand. He'd rather that than you get knocked up and then try to kill the baby, you know what I mean? But they were
I remember there's a part of the Bible that's like you know, that's something like it's better for your there's literally a part of the Bible, I'm not making this up, I'm pretty sure, that's like it's better for your seed to go in the belly of a whore than on the ground. So I don't know, the Bible's kind of like I don't know.
Well, it was an all-girls school. Maybe that's the case. Maybe at, you know, the boys' school across
right.
the street.
There's no seed like, hey. Situation. Right, right.
Yeah. But with us, they were like, look. We just don't want you killing babies. Whatever will stop that, okay?
If that Little did they know that sperm is babies, right?
Yeah.
So it's life begins at, you know, ejaculation, clearly.
Yeah.
It's scary, especially in this country where we, like, of the developed nations, we have the highest rate of infant mortality and mortality of the mother during birth.
Oh, yeah.
So not allowing healthcare, you know, for because abortion really is that, it's healthcare, is terrifying.
We're about to pump those numbers.
Black women, of course. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah, we're, it, it's definitely, and we're definitely going to pump those numbers up. So, so just another first place for America that we're not done with. It's like, you know, it's, it, there's like three things. It's like belief in angels, mother and infant mortality rates, and, military funding. We're like, we're already in first place, but we're just going to keep, you know, keep gaining that lead. So nobody's going to pass us. So.
Yeah. Why be, you know, a jack of all trades when you could be a master at three?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, pretty scary. But yeah, in general though, you know, I feel like I have a few tabs open just to like remind myself, like all these different ones. So we have like, and Liz, you're probably going to have to hold my hand through some of these because I'm kind of a dumb baby, so I don't really know.
Not you.
But so we already covered like the lemon thing, the dude, the guy, the lemon man praying at the 50 yard line. I think that's what that was about, right? then there's this one. this one's fun for me. The whole the Supreme Court. Oh, that's a video at this point. The Supreme Court basically saying the EPA, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency, can't tell people to stop polluting. So that seems fun. Then there's obviously abortion. Then there's this one. I don't really know this one very well. This is like the, like this one, I'm like, you'll have to explain to me. Cause I'm a dumb baby.
Is it the Native American one?
Yeah. The Native American one. Like I get it. It's like, if you're not native, you can get arrested. On Native lands, basically being like, yeah, Native lands, like they don't have their own sovereignty. And then this whole thing that's like the originalism, maybe this is like a good basis to talk about these things, but this thing, it says the legal theory guiding conservative Supreme Court justices originalism. So like these are, originalism is basically like they're hardcore, like it has to be exactly to the Constitution. And that's basically what they're instead of having, is it like originalism? Am I wrong? It's like originalism versus judicial review or whatever. It's like the two competing theories. Is that how it is?
Originalism basically is it has to be in the text.
Right.
Like everything is a textual argument about like the language. And then, you know, the other view is that, you know, and this is the view that most liberal progressive justices hold, which is that the document, the Constitution, it is a living, breathing document that has been meant to evolve over time as, you know, we change, as our nation changes. And I think that is honestly more consistent with the intent of the Constitution, because, you know, when it was written, it was intended that it would be amended, that it would be rewritten eventually. So I think that trying to review it as an evolving document is more consistent. But originalism, you know, that, you know, that's Alito, that's Justice Thomas, that they, and well, used to be Scalia, just that, you know, it has to be in the text, which is why Justice Thomas, in his concurrence in the Dobbs v. Jackson case, basically wrote that he thought all substantive due process rights should be like thrown out eventually. And those rights include like the right, that's like Loving v. Virginia. That's the right to marry who you want, whether it be someone of a different race or of the same gender. So he wants to get rid of all that. And that's scary.
So he said, yeah, can you like explain that to me? Like, so he said he wants like a specific thing ousted that's like the basis for those rights. Is that how it is?
Yeah. So there's procedural due process and there's substantive due process. And substantive due process basically finds fundamental rights that are interpreted into from the Constitution. And a lot of those rights are like the right to keep the family together, the right to procreate, the right to have custody of children, the right to marry. So I think that gets a little scary that he wants to get rid of those, because that basically means that they're going to target gay people next. there, right. It could even be used to destroy Loving v. Virginia, which I don't know why anybody would want to do that at this point. That's
right.
That's really, really scary.
I hate to, in my mind, I'm like, that won't happen. But I guess I kind of was in my mind that Roe wouldn't have happened either. So maybe, you know, it's like everything's up for grabs.
Yeah. It is. Everything is up for grabs. I find it unlikely. It's kind of weird because Justice Thomas is married to a white woman. Why would he want to? I mean, he didn't.
Give it a couple decades and, you know, things might have regressed enough that it's like, you know, we're going to be missing the days of Clarence Thomas. Who knows?
Well, my other question too is, you know, this might be hopping ahead a little bit, but when it comes to the issue of like gerrymandering, for example, and abortion, I mean, we can kind of see the writing on the wall with that one, but it seems like a lot of these decisions, as far as the way that it will be enacted or the way that it will actually affect the people within those states, that's left pretty much up to state governments. If I'm wrong, let me know. But when it comes to, for example, the issue of interracial marriage, Liz, do you think that it could be, you know, maybe at the Supreme Court level, like they would open up a door that would allow certain states to kind of make a decision that, yeah, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Like, if we find out that, you know, you're doing interracial, like, marriage or relationships, we're allowed to prosecute you. Do you think that could be the way that, like, it sort of rolls into an issue? Or do we kind of think, like, well, there's a stopping point. Eventually, people are going to be like, what the fuck, no.
I think that's probably an unlikely one. I don't think Justice Thomas even mentioned Loving v. Virginia when he was citing all the cases that are basically up for grabs next.
It's just the fact that he like attacked the foundation of it, you know.
Yes, like, that's the scary part, because then it does. I don't know. Like, other states may try it, and then we'll have to, you know, go to court over it. But I think, honestly, I think the big thing to worry about next is the right to marry for, you know, same-sex couples. I think that's
pretty fresh. Like, everybody forgets that. That's, I mean, not like everybody forgets.
Very new.
Yeah, it's very new. And who knows, like, why would they, you know, Roe is 50 years old and they went after it. It's like, why wouldn't they go after, I mean, shit. I mean, how old is Loving? Loving can't even be that old, right? Like, it's got to be like, what, the 40? I don't know. What, do you know when Loving was?
I think it was 50, 55.
Yeah, or maybe it was only 20 years older than Roe. Like, who know, why wouldn't they if they wanted to?
Might have been,
like,
later than that. I just know that my grandparents got married before Loving v. Virginia happened. Wow, and I don't know, just by some miracle, they had no trouble. They were able to get married, even though they were different races. But, you know, it could have obviously gone the other way, because they did get married in a state where there was a lot of racism. It was like a Southern state. So they could have been in a lot of trouble, but for some reason they weren't targeted. I also, my other set of grandparents, I think they got married before Loving v. Virginia too. And they had to go out of state to do it.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, like, I just looked it up. It looks like it was, the decision was made in 1967.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Fucking newer than we would have figured. I mean, it kind of makes sense. A lot of these things, that may have been adopted by popular culture, it took a while before it was actually in writing. Like this, and then the other one that I can think of off the top of my head are certain rights of immigrants, specifically like Asian immigrants, like Latin American immigrants. Those, I feel like, and Liz, correct me because I'm a dum-dum, came about like in the late 60s, sometimes 70s, and there were some that may have even came after that. Could be wrong. Could be very wrong.
Which rights are you talking about?
So the ones that I'm thinking of, and I don't know the case, I don't know like any of the true information about it, but the rights of Asian Americans as far as their ability to obtain citizenship, like, I think that was part of the argument, like, because they were not able to obtain citizenship during World War II, they used that as kind of a justification for like the Japanese internment camps. And then it wasn't until like 20 years later, and I could be totally wrong, that like there was some sort of act that was passed that was meant to protect the rights of like Chinese American immigrants and Japanese American immigrants. But it wasn't until like, I want to say the 60s, I could be again, completely, completely wrong.
I think you're correct, because a lot of that came with the civil rights movement in the 60s. So, you know, like specifically with Asian Americans not being able to like attend, you know, desegregated schools or white schools, you know, that all came after Brown v. Board. So I'm sure it was around that time. But I would like to note that you brought up like the internment camps. Technically, that's still good law. It's never been overturned. So it is perfectly legal to bring that back under, you know, that case. I forget the name. I think it's unlikely that that would happen now, but you know, it's definitely not good that it's hard because you can't challenge it until somebody actually does it again. So like, it's hard to like overrule it now when there's no, you know, imminent injury.
Right.
But it's
a lot of it. I feel like, you know, it's so weird because basically the whole point is that, you know, this murky like territory, you know, we're getting into, it's like right now, it feels like certain things are untouchable. Like, oh God, I could never imagine a situation where that would happen. But, you know, Katie kind of alluded to this before. It's like, not only is the current Supreme Court, you know, just like carte blanche, erasing precedent and like reversing history and taking us back, but they're like setting up roadblocks to make it so that if anybody like if power changes, you know, there's like it's just there's more work to be done to like reverse the changes that they are making. Like they're changing election law, so it's going to be harder for the public at large to like do anything democratically to like put the people in place that might change things through legislature. They're reducing the amount of power the executive branch has to make it so that they can like, you know, use executive orders to undo some of those things that they've done. It's like, so even though now we feel like, you know what, God, I can never imagine them touching things like that. It's like the thing that's pretty, you know, like apocalyptic about the whole thing is that it's the basis for something that could be like way worse. You know, this is bad. This has all happened in like a couple months, and like, who knows what'll happen in 20 years, like down the line, like.
Yeah. And those people are going to remain on the court. The people that Trump appointed, like.
They're spry. They're basically in Pampers still. They'll be around forever.
some of them are younger than my parents. Like they're really young. Like I know, Amy Comey Barrett, she had only been a judge for like 3 years. She was appointed by Trump, I think, in like 2017. So she has no experience and she's very young. And this could take us, you know, half a century to fix.
Yeah. And like, you know, and it's one of those things that's like, if you haven't already like gone to this place, like if anybody trying to solve this problem, anybody like taking the time, because like so many people are still fucking stuck on like, oh God, we just got to like do like vote this person in or vote like change this, like, you know, change this, you know, like electoral field or like start focusing in these like rural areas during, you know, midterm season and we'll get these things. It's like, well, if you look into how we change what the Supreme Court has done for more than 5 seconds, there's not a lot of like hopeful democratic processes left. Like this is pretty much the end of the line. Like this is the least democratic portion of our government doing the like most, you know, like doing on the ground, life-changing things for average people. And there's not like a simple democratic process to get rid of it. It's basically like, imagine that we hopefully have a Democrat who's got like good intentions and a amicable Senate or like, you know, like House that'll approve, you know, somewhat better progressive judges in whatever 30 years when Amy Coney Barrett dies. It's like where, you know, the answers left for like what we do to avoid just like, you know, losing our rights, total democratic implosion, all that shit is just like falling and falling away. It's like becoming more and more of a ridiculous, you know, like Mission Impossible movie to get anything done. So
kind of there's not much to do other than wait it out or pack the court. And both of those things, you know, like, we have no control over.
Yeah. And so, pack the court is basically just like another version of wait it out, because even if there was like a pack the court, even if literally the president tomorrow was like, let's just add a bunch of justices, like, who are they getting on? You know, like, who they, like, who's the current House going to approve? You know, so it's like,
the
even
Senate.
That, like, yeah, or the Senate. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's an impossible task. Like, I really would love for the court to be packed, but I think it'll never happen. I don't think Biden is gonna do that. He's very moderate, and I think even if he did, I can't imagine it being approved.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's pretty sad. And he's not. It's not even a suggestion, let alone like a thought out battle plan with like any returns.
We already have people who, I mean, like Joe Manchin comes to mind, where he's like, oh no, I'm not going to vote in favor of that. Like, I'm taking a stance right now, preemptively. I'm not doing
that. There are like 10 of those in the Senate alone, I'm sure, like on the Democrat side. But, you know, like 1/5 of them talk out, you know, say one thing and then like are just Manchins in disguise. So.
Exactly. Yeah. It's irritating to see, like you were saying earlier, right? There are democratic processes that should be in place. They're really not effective. They're not helpful. And you have assholes who are, you know, preemptively going like, no, it's not going to work because I'm not going to let it. Now, what are like the motivations behind that? Fucking, I have no idea. But it is irritating because, again, this waiting game between packing the court or just waiting until, you know, some of these fuckers die that we could replace them. In the meantime, people are going to die. Like, especially with abortion rights in this country, you're going to have people going back to back alley abortions, dying that way. I wouldn't be surprised if there are certain states who put in death penalties for women who, you know, try to go through with an abortion. There's going to be a lot of women who end up dying in childbirth. There's going to be all sorts of other complications.
They've already prosecuted women for killing their infant, or, you know, killing their fetus, basically. Like, that's already happened.
In Alabama, I mean, there have been instances where women were abused until they basically had a miscarriage, and they're the ones who get, you know, put in prison, somehow, you know, they're the ones who end up fucked, even though someone else had created those, the environment for them to, you know, have a miscarriage or an abortion in some cases, and it's totally not their fault. Like,
every miscarriage is going to be an investigation too,
right?
And and every time you cross state lines like it's all very scary. And you're right, a lot of women are going to die.
And there's like a refugee network being created right now, like from red states to blue states, to like haul people across borders, like to like as a medical, like a medical refugees, basically. And the people who don't make it to the other side will, I mean, in the best case scenario, bring a pregnancy to term they don't want. And in the worst case scenario, literally die.
Right.
And among pregnant women, one of the leading causes of death is homicide. So like, I don't think it's the first cause, but it's one of the main causes of death for pregnant women. And it's usually their partner. So like, not allowing these women to get an abortion, like that can make things much, much worse, like for the relationship. And it can make them, you know, subject to more abuse. And it's just not, it's not well thought out.
Right.
Yeah. Just that, like, it's hard to, like, down the line, like every step of the way, you can just add like ambient suffering in the background of like America that's already been there. Cause I mean, it's like, it's hard to even talk about these things in specifics. Cause the South, basically in parts of the South, it was illegal to, I mean, in the Midwest, all across the country, there's places where it was essentially functionally illegal to have an abortion or just completely inaccessible. And now that all of that's just increased. So like, you know, down the line, it's like, oh, you know, neglected children or just like families that can't afford to survive, like all these things that are brought up just by like increasing the amount of births, unwanted births that people have, like all of those are going to climb. Like this, you know, we're creating like a refugee network, we're creating a health crisis, we're creating a child neglect crisis, like all in one. So good job, Supreme Court, like all in one swoop. And that's just like a tiny chunk of like all this shit they've done this month. It's like,
It's eroding women's rights in more ways than people understand. Because one of the decisions that was overturned by Dobbs v. Jackson was Planned Parenthood v. Casey, and that case one of their main holdings was that it's unconstitutional to require a woman who is married to notify her spouse before getting an abortion. So now that's gone. So states are free to require a woman to notify her spouse and even have to get their consent. So it's just making the point that women aren't people with equal rights.
Oh yeah, yikes. Right. Yep. Oh man, down the line it just gets worse and worse too.
Then you aggravate that with like how shitty your economy is going to. I mean, it's the recession has already begun, right? But you can kind of compound that with all these other decisions. And then, so you're putting a lot of people who are already at the brink into crippling poverty. And then, especially for women or people who are, you know, forced to raise young children that they don't want, it's going to create like a level of poverty, I think, in this country that we've never seen before in just mass amounts.
At least since the 30s, probably.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I don't know. And this is the other thing, too. This wasn't a Supreme Court decision, but they ended up using some of the same logic for that EPA case. Like the SEC, people just saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to, you know, have to listen to them because this, for whatever reason, is an agency that is not democratic. And therefore, we, you know, because people don't get like due process or something.
Oh, my God. Wait, are you talking about the SEC? SEC? Like, wait, I feel like I'm getting.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, like, in again, Liz, correct me, but the Fifth Circuit decision that basically undermined the power of the SEC, which is basically the only regulatory body. Huh?
There's so many like more layers to this. I keep forgetting. Like I forgot. That's like the, anyway, that's like the.
Yeah.
The,
and that one was like, real.
What does that have to do with again?
That one has to do with like the SEC's ability to basically prevent, you know, insider trading, any sort of monopolistic actions by corporations as well. It's the
that one wasn't Supreme Court. It was like a lower court, right?
It's the Fifth Circuit, yeah. And right, so right. Like, even though that is supposed to have less implications, right, than like a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, it's like Igor, like Frankenstein's monster has done all this other stuff, and Igor comes back, he's like, hey, just so you know, like I like made insider trading legal too. And good job, man. Good job.
Yeah, dude. It's like, oh, sick, cool. I'm glad that thing that's supposed to stabilize the economy in this fucking country and make like our currency worth shit, so people actually want to borrow from the U.S., which, you know, obviously is a huge help to our.
Let's just make the whole economy like one big Ponzi scheme. That's like cool.
It just doesn't make sense because that's the whole point of federal agencies. They regulate. That's part of the executive branch. And to say that it's, you know, not democratic doesn't really make any sense either, because the president is elected and he appoints heads of agencies and they
assholes aren't democratic. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know, man, the least democratic part of the country being like, hey, this shit's not democratic enough. So like, we need to have more pollution. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, you people are here until death. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, the other thing too is, do you really fucking think anyone's going to vote on these types of positions? I mean, for fuck's sake, we have such low voter turnout as it fucking is. And when you're going down the ballot, less and less people vote on those issues too. So if you're trying to make this argument that, hey, we got to open this up to an agency that can be elected. Now, I don't know if they're necessarily trying to make that argument or if they're just trying to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just being like, no regulation at all. Like, why?
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling. But I mean, like, if the basis of that logic and you're just looking at that in a vacuum is, hey, yeah, this isn't democratic enough and we need people to vote on it in order for it to be legitimate, go fuck yourself. Like, no one's going to vote on that. I mean,
Things simple, it's like, whatever they're saying is the basis for these things is like, you can just completely ignore. It's like the whole, you know, theocratic thing. It really is like, you can just ignore the functions of these and just assume, like, yeah, the real reason is because the court is politically implied. They're just conservative. They're just going to find whatever reason to do the thing that will make their, you know, like their investors happy, basically, even if they're not like, you know, they're not running for election, but they're still a part of the hive mind of like, you know, capital that's just like, well, this will be profitable and it aligns with our Christian conservative values. So who gives a fuck what is the basis for it? Because they contradict each other all the time. You know, they'll say, oh, well, in this instance, you know, it's like gun rights, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to protect gun rights, the specific, you know, like a version of gun rights we believe in. But
it's also not constitutional to have like members of the federal agency elected. Like that's already been ruled unconstitutional. So I don't even understand like what they're trying to get at there. I think it's just like you said, like Nick, like it's just a way so that they can get around regulations.
Yeah. And it's almost like, it almost feels like a trap, like a sand trap to like get stuck in the specifics, even though learning about the specifics is important because it's like the mechanisms of how they do it. It feels like a big slog because it's like they just know how to maneuver through the legal jargon and the processes to make the things happen. But at the end of the day, it's a very dumb, basic, cudgel like change. It's like, we just don't want people to have abortions. We don't care what the basis of it is. So like thinking like, you know, maybe I'm saying this because I don't understand these things anyway, but like I'm really not even that interested in like getting too thick in like the exact processes, because I know in the end it doesn't matter. They're going to change the processes when they feel it's beneficial to them. And that's how our side, you know, whatever quote unquote our side is, that's what the opposition to this should do and how they should think of it too. Like I'm a huge advocate for like, you know, just like don't to fight these institutions is actually beneficial to like discredit them. Like maybe the Supreme Court is just holy bullshit. Like, you know, maybe like our system of law, like it only exists this way because of like, you know, like everybody has to agree on it. You know, it's precedent. So you have to like stick around with it, even if you're fighting against it. But in general, like, you know, aspiring enemies of the modern conservative Supreme Court, like I would hope that they don't give a fuck about how the process is, the integrity of the process is too much, because if you worry about the integrity of the process too much, like you're falling into their trap and we're never going to like,
it's like, I wouldn't say like, the whole that's Supreme, like a big... I don't think the whole Supreme Court is bullshit. I think like the issue we're having right now is with two things. Like first, the way the presidential elections are held. It shouldn't be the case that people who lose a popular election then get to appoint people to the Supreme Court or even get to be president at all. Like that doesn't make any sense. And I think the second problem is, you know, the amount of control that the Senate is exercising over the appointment process is getting a little scary right now. Like I think that it's very strange that Merrick Garland was prevented from, you know, they weren't even having hearings on his appointment because they had like this made up rule, and that rule was then thrown away for Amy Comey Barrett. And I think that the reason the Supreme Court is screwed up right now and doesn't represent the population here is because we're having issues with our election and because the Senate is just arbitrarily ruling things,
like,
and they're not,
it's
no,
like
they're
down
not
even, the line down the line democratic issues less so like you're like, oh well, there's the technically it would work, but the other democratic processes are also broken, so it doesn't work. Is that kind of what you're
yeah thinking? Exactly. Like I think that, you know, our elections are really screwed up right now. I just can't believe that people, you know, the Electoral College, it's just so outdated. Like it doesn't make any sense anymore. And there's a way to stop that. Like I don't even think we have to get rid of the entire Electoral College. I just think that, you know, it shouldn't be winner take all. It shouldn't be like, okay, so everybody is a Democrat here mostly, so they get the entire state, or like the other way for the Republicans. I think it should be proportional. And if it were proportional, we could still theoretically protect small states, which I think is bullshit anyways, but if we're going for that, we could still do that and then have, you know, an actual democratic process where we would see people who win the popular vote actually win the election.
Yeah. Yeah. There is like a, it's kind of sad because like, yeah, like the whole, oh, you know, like I thought about this when you said like, oh, well, I guess if we're going for protecting the small states, we could still have it like this. It's like, there are versions of like, you know, it's like, there's this, there's just like a stated intent for like some of these things, like the Electoral College, for instance, that like, I don't really believe that that's why that they're there. But even theoretically, if they were, the world could be less shitty. We could still have places, we could still have abortion, we could still have, you know, like basic human rights, and do this weird specific shit that conservatives get worried about. Like, they don't give a fuck about human rights, but they're like worried about aborted babies and they're worried about gun rights. You know, it's like they choose, they pick and choose whatever fucking issue, and then ignore all other human rights or whatever. And it's like, we could still give you those things. Like, I don't know. There's a world with pistols without fucking, you know, school shootings. But it's like, I'm at the point where I'm so far down the line, I don't give a fuck about, like, I don't give a fuck about state rights. You know, it's like, I just think it's such a crybaby thing to be like, well, what about the people in the rural areas that the Electoral College protects? It's like, I don't know. Like, there's not that many of them. So, like, I care more about the fact that, like, you know, cities aren't getting represented because the Electoral College is taking representation away from them. But it's like, down the line, that's how jaded I'm becoming. It's just like, it is all kind of like extreme and apocalyptic to me, because if the more I think about it, the more it feels like futile. And it's like, they don't really even believe the bullshit they're spewing. So, you know, there's a world where I could give them piecemeal little things. And like, in my mind, I mean, this is like, if I were a dictator and I could make these things, I could, you know, I could give those things away and it wouldn't be that bad. But at this point, I'm like, why even give them that? You know, it's like, why even give them that? Oh, they're killing babies. Like, oh, they have the right to believe that they're killing babies. Like, no, fuck you. Like, I don't care. I don't think that's true. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, I think the other thing too is like, anyone who is not on the hardcore conservative right, they're coming at it. If we were playing a game, right, the conservative right, when they are in, they haven't been losing since I could remember, but when things aren't going their way, they flip the board, they tear up the rule set, and they go, I'm going to do what I need to do in order to fucking win. Whereas anyone who's not on that site is trying to pick up the pieces of the rule book and go, excuse me in chapter 10. And that's not an effective fucking way of being able to handle this. And
yeah, while they're playing scorched earth, we're playing by the rules.
Precisely. Like, if you want to win a war, that's not how you fucking do it. You don't do it with ticky-tacky rules, because the other side, you have to see it as, you know, they're going to win at all costs. They don't give a shit. They're monsters. We need to come at it at basically the same velocity and the same ferocity. And it's irritating to me, especially hearing, you know, this bullshit about, well, small states and what about representation of these, you know, small people or the people in the small states? Well, my fucking question is, like, why, at the end of the day, if you care so much about democracy, why is it that the vast majority of people want something and that can be completely ignored? Because at the end of the day, like, it's not going to, I mean, I know that this isn't necessarily the purpose behind, like, the way that our government was made up or, you know, the design of it, but from a utilitarian standpoint, why the fuck are we trying to, you know, save the baby? or why the fuck are we trying to, you know, help a very small minority of people with very strange concepts as to why they're voting a certain way when you can save so many more people's lives? That's what it's coming down to, especially with, you know, some of these issues like abortion and the EPA. Why the fuck aren't we just looking at, you know, the net benefits of life and thinking about how many lives are one way or the other?
The perfect example of, like, you know, that kind of minority rule is the fucking filibuster. Like, they won't get rid of the filibuster, which basically allows the minority to control the majority, which is just not what we're found on. We are a majority, like, rural country. So, like, it's kind of ridiculous that we're allowing the minority to stop, you know, stop Congress from doing anything. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous at this point. And that, like you said earlier, people like Joe Manchin, you know, are in support of it for whatever reason.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, maybe this is getting a little too broad, but, you know, the concept of, like, you know, even the founders had this, like, oh, you know, you got to watch out for the mob rule. Like, I feel like a lot of our government is secretly playing by those rules, has been playing by those rules for a long time, where the people in power, like, secretly to themselves and to their colleagues and even to the people across the aisle that they don't like so much, like, talk about and admit, like, well, we can't, like, give people, we can't give the public what they actually want. Like, we can't have just whatever has a majority, you know, it, like, that decides what becomes law. Like, even when it's the case that, like, it's on their side, like, even Democrats, when they're like, oh, like, people agree with all of these things, they don't want to get rid of the filibuster because they know that, you know, the whole classic, well, when they're going to be out of power, they want to hold it. And it's like, you know, I'm honestly fine with just, like, blunt, like, it would be great. I mean, there's no world where this is going to happen, but I'd really be fine with just, like, blunt democracy. Like, if we just, even though the masses are stupid, it's like, it's still, it would still slightly less stupid than the entrenched elite who are stuck, you know, in their, like, money trap. It's like, I think individuals are actually violently more stupid than the masses. So it's like all these, it just looks like one giant process to take power away from the masses, and it's, and just, like, cake it in democracy so that it feels like we're getting, you know, a representative republic, but we're just not. Like, there's nine people who can just overturn legislation, basically. I mean, like, who can just overturn years and years of precedent, and it's like, it's I don't know, it's very depressing. And it makes me, like, come to this conclusion where I'm like, you know what, like, I don't know how it does anything, but the real fight seems to be, like, yeah, those fucking people who are, like, protesting in front of their house. Like, somehow that feels more effective to me. Like, I imagine the, like, solution to this way more likely coming from that than, like, hoping anymore that, like, Biden's gonna do anything or anything. Like,
yeah, know, I think so. That's fair.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the point that you brought up, Nick, about, well, like, there's a group that is in power, and they're like, well, you know, maybe we can act, you know, against the will of the people who voted for us, because later it'll become something that we can utilize. And I think especially for Democrats, like, they've had a very long history of not giving a fuck. So about, like, what they want, they seem to be complete losers on issues that we care about. I feel like the only way that they campaign is by being able to say, oh, well, if you guys vote for the other direction, we're not going to be able to accomplish X, Y, or Z. So they continue to lose on big issues by being able to continue to say, well, if you don't vote for us, da, 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 da. If you don't vote for us, like, look at what's going to happen. We're not going to be able to accomplish this, even though when the ball is in their court, they can't accomplish it anyway. So,
well, not to cut off that idea, because I have
no, it's okay
about that, but maybe just to wrap up, because we didn't actually, like, go through the detailed, like, we just sort of, I mean, we went the apocalyptic route, and we're talking about, like, fuck, how bad can shit get? But maybe we can give a little, like, Liz and her geniusness about the law can give us just, like, 2 second little explanations, like, the ones we didn't talk about. Like, so can you explain, like, briefly what, like, your take on what happened with, like, the Native American thing, the EPA thing, and, like, I don't know, any of these other court things? Like, maybe just, like, a little tidbit if you have time.
Yeah, I think the, you know, with the Native American case, that honestly is just par for the course. Like, we've violated basically every treaty we've ever made with them. Like, that decision didn't shock me at all. Like, it's just further stripping away their autonomy as a sovereign nation. Like, that, I just don't, I don't see how it could have gone any other way. It's sad. It's awful. With the EPA thing, I mean, that, you know, basically taking the EPA's right to regulate carbon pollution, like, that's one of the scariest things, because our planet isn't, you know, it's not going to be hospitable for us for very long. And I think that's
a pretty apocalyptic one.
Yeah, that's, I don't really have any hope to add with that. I don't really know what to say about it. I think, honestly, I'm scared. I don't know. I don't know.
No. Don't be scared. We're gonna. No. I'll invite you. No. Look. No fear here. I'll invite you to the beach house. We're gonna, like, the waters will rise, and we'll just, like, be on a surfboard. Don't you worry. It's gonna be a good time. We're gonna be able to wear cool gas masks. Like, I think. Don't you worry. Like, that's all that this podcast is for. I'm gonna start a Patreon, start some funds, and we're gonna do, like, what's it called, like, Snow Mountain or whatever that the rich people, like, you know, the Silicon Valley kids do, but all for the survivors. You know, so So it'll be good. I think it's actually, it's a good time. It's very like the worse it gets, the better for the podcast. And now that you've jumped on, Liz, like you're going to get royalties. So
yeah, you get the benefits of this. And I've already stockpiled all the Doritos that we need.
Oh yeah.
I've stockpiled all the cigarettes because God knows I love them.
Get Roscoe's chicken and waffles. Start stockpiling that. Right
baby,
now.
Baby. Yes. You guys get me a list and I'll start stockpiling. I got you. Yeah.
Well, I think we've gone, I have like 7,000 more things to say about all this shit, but it has been a good amount of time. So,
let's maybe do a part two.
Yeah, we'll do a part two. This deserves a lot like more shit, you know? So maybe the next one, like, you know, once they when they surprise overturn Loving, we'll do like,
we'll be like, Liz, you heard it here first from, you know, Liz. She called this bullshit months ago. Wow, what a genius. And then you can get like a spot on CNN where you just get to talk about, you know, all of these things and predict things. And people are going to love you and you'll be famous.
Well, I have such mixed emotions about that.
Hey, man, that's what the show's about, baby. Mixed emotions. Mixed emotions. Yeah. Well, cool. Any final thoughts? Thanks for coming, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you for the having me on
the pod. This was like the best buds pod, you know? So.
Yes. Best friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
All right. Adios, muchachos, muchachas, muchach, eds.
Yeah. Bahooches. Love you.
Love you both.
Duck. And cover. Duck. And cover.